Bring you a message tonight that we would entitle Introduction to the Kingdom of Heaven. Introduction to the Kingdom of Heaven. Now, I'm not waiting at the gate going to introduce you to the place, to all those that are up there. That's not what I mean by that title. This, I think, perhaps will end up being multiple messages on this same subject. It's just too big to get all in one session, so we'll use this as kind of the introductory sermon to a concept that we'll call the Kingdom of Heaven. That's what Jesus called it. The Kingdom of Heaven. What does Jesus mean when he talks about the Kingdom of Heaven? Well, I'll give you a little heads up. Sometimes he means one thing, and sometimes he means something else. Let's start with a question. How can the same Bible describe God's plan of eternal salvation with the words, "Whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified"? That's that one verse statement of God's plan of salvation. It's all he. He planned it. He applies it. He paid for it. And he gives it to us. And that's all by amazing grace. We've got that description of God's plan of salvation. And then we've got Jesus' words that go something like this in Matthew chapter 13. Describing this kingdom of heaven, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field. And when a man finds that field where that treasure's buried, he needs to sell everything he's got and go buy that field. Jesus says that's what the kingdom of heaven's all about, is selling everything so you can buy it. What? When I was a teenager, I decided I was going to read through the Bible, through the New Testament. Started in the book of Matthew, got to chapter 13, and began to read statements like this, where Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, you got to sell everything and buy it if you want it. And that certainly didn't fit what I'd been hearing through the growing up years, that it's all by amazing grace that we get to heaven. So, at that point, I shut the Bible, and I quit reading, because I couldn't make sense out of it, and I thought it was a good book, and surely it wasn't telling me lies, but I sure couldn't make the sense out of how God can get us to heaven by grace, and we need to sell everything to buy heaven. You see what a quandary that gets us in? If we don't learn to rightly divide the word of truth, We go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, it's a right shameful thing to shut the Bible and just quit reading it because you can't make sense out of it. And you want to believe it, but you don't know how. But what we need to do is study, that we might be able to put it all together. It's all true. We just sometimes don't know how to fit it. To rightly divide, we've used this illustration so many times, but I'll use it again tonight. The word save. If you go into the Bible thinking save means get to heaven every time you read it, you're going to be about as confused as I was when I was 13 or 14 years old and trying to figure out how heaven's by grace and heaven's by buying it. We're going to try to answer that question before it's over tonight. We don't mean to leave you dangling. We're trying to teach you now how to answer the question, how to go about answering the question. We go back to the word save. The angel said before Jesus' birth, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That one's talking about how we get to heaven. That it's of Jesus. that it's absolutely certain, because he shall do it. He's coming into this world to be the Savior. You call him Jesus, which means Savior, because he shall save. Save his people from their sins and take them home to glory. Whom he did justify on that cross, he glorified. That has everything to do with how we get to heaven. That's that kind of salvation. That's heaven saving right there. But then Peter's walking on the water, going toward Jesus, and he looks away from Jesus, and the waves are boisterous, it says, and he began to sink. And he shouts out, Lord, save me. He's not wanting to go to heaven. Maybe he wants to go on the next bus, but he doesn't want to go today. Save me, I'm drowning. If you don't do something, I'm out of here. That's exactly not saving you to heaven. That's keeping you from going. And you say, well, I understand that. Everybody gets that one. But what about when Peter, after preaching the sermon at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and he ends up that whole beautiful sermon about you've taken with wicked hands, you've crucified him, God's raised him, and they're pricked in their hearts. They say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter gives them directions, but along the way in those directions, he said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Well, now we've got a conflict there. If you think that saving right there is how you get to heaven, then you've got a conflict that Jesus shall do it, and it's all of Jesus, or you've got to do it yourself, and which one is it? Well, the problem is we're not talking about the same kind of save right there, or if we do try to talk about the same kind of save, it won't fit. But if the first save, if Jesus saves us to heaven, but then how you come to Jesus and get baptized like Peter said to, and join the church and get away from the crowd out there, and you can save yourself from the untoward generation, that's those that aren't walking toward Jesus. If you'll begin to walk toward Jesus and come and follow him, you'll deliver yourself from a whole lot of troubles in this world. So we can do something to save ourselves while we're still in this world, although it's God that saves us all by himself as far as getting us to the next world. So we rightly divide. We rightly divide the word save, and we could go on there and talk about a lot of other verses and a lot of other concepts that we've got to rightly divide if we're going to make sense out of the Bible. Now, before we get into this eternal salvation, or this kingdom of heaven thing, the kingdom of heaven that we're going to talk about mainly tonight, we want to tell you that getting to heaven is all by grace. The Bible does teach that. It surely, certainly teaches that the getting to heaven part is all of God. Ephesians chapter 1, I don't know any better place to go. According as he, God, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not ours, his. Not what we do, it's what God did. God planned it, he chose his people, he predetermined their destiny before the world ever began. Having predestinated us for the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's all by that good old amazing grace that we get to heaven. And we need to praise the glory of God's grace, not get mad at him for choosing. If he hadn't chosen some to save, if he hadn't chosen to save, nobody would have gotten saved. And we are in such a situation that there's no man that will come and you cannot come. And if God didn't come, then nobody was ever going to get together in this plan, were they? So God chooses to save, and he chooses who he'll save, and he comes to them. But back to Ephesians chapter 1, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, in that grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In Jesus Christ, he's the beloved. We are made accepted to God. It's not that we accept him. He makes us accepted to him. So that we're acceptable to him by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Wherein, in that grace, we are made accepted in the beloved. In the beloved, in whom, in Jesus, we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. And all of that is to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glorious grace. And then we come on down, and from there on about the rest of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, we have statements about how God comes to us when we're dead in trespasses and sins. God quickens us, that is, he gives us life. One more verse there. Even when we were dead in sins, Ephesians 2 and 5. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together quickened us together with Christ by grace, you are saved. So, God chose us, that's according to his grace. Jesus paid for us, that's according to his grace. The Holy Spirit comes and gives us the eternal life, the spiritual life at the time of born again, and that's according to his grace. So getting to heaven is by grace, and grace alone. Romans 11 and 6 says, if it be of grace, it can't be of works. Otherwise, grace is not grace anymore. So getting to heaven, eternal heaven, is by grace. But now we've got to rightly divide this thing. I don't believe Jesus in Matthew 13 there, where he's talking about selling out and buying it. I don't think he's talking about something eternal right there. I don't think he's talking about the place where we go when we die. I think he's talking about something we can have while we're still here in this world. If we'll learn to rightly divide this idea of kingdom of heaven, that sometimes God's talking about, sometimes the Bible's talking about, sometimes Jesus is talking about where we go when we die, and sometimes he's talking about what we can have while we're still here, that's mighty akin to heaven, but it's while we're still here. So now we're going to try to rightly divide this thing and come up with some truths from God's word about the kingdom of heaven. There's a kingdom of heaven up there. There's a kingdom of heaven down here. There's a kingdom of heaven that's forever, and there's a kingdom of heaven that's while we're alive still in this world. We talk about the kingdom of heaven that's forever. Paul prayed that God would deliver him from every evil work, 2 Timothy 4 and 18, and preserve him unto God's heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen, it says. A heavenly kingdom. In the end, Jesus is going back. The king's going to come back. The king is going to come back, and he's going to bring his angels with him, and he's going to sit in judgment, Matthew chapter 25. And he's going to separate his sheep from the goats. He's going to put his sheep on the right hand. He's going to put the goats on the left hand. And he's going to say to those sheep, his sheep, he say, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. That's glory. That's eternity. That's up there. The end comes in 1 Corinthians 15, and it says Jesus will deliver the kingdom to the Father. That's after resurrection and everything's finished. That's the kingdom of heaven that's up yonder. So we've got this idea of a kingdom of heaven that's up yonder forever, after we die, after resurrection, in heaven, out there, up there. But that's not every place that it talks about it. It talks about it that way, this kingdom thing. We've got ideas. The whole Bible is the book about the king. Let me just start right there. Way back in Genesis, we had Melchizedek, and he was Jesus Christ in this world. Do you believe that's not the message for tonight. But he was a king, the king of Salem, Melchizedek. That's Jesus Christ. God was the king of his people, and then the people wanted another king. They wanted a king of their own. That's God being king over Israel. In the Old Testament days, way back in the writings of Daniel, he spoke of God cutting a stone out of a mountain. Prophecies. It spoke of a prophecy of four kingdoms. The first one was Babylon. The second one was the Medes and the Persians. The third one was the Greeks, Alexander and the Greeks. And the fourth is the Roman Empire. And it says during the time of those kings, the kings of the Roman Empire, when the kingdom would be divided, it'd be very strong, but it'd be very weak. The feet would be weak, but the core of it would be strong. It describes these kingdoms in a way that those are the four kingdoms that would come between Daniel's day and the day of Christ. But in the last kingdom there, the kingdom of the Romans, would come the King, Jesus Christ. Daniel 2 and 40, in the fourth kingdom the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. In the days of those kings, the Romans, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall stand forever. That's the day of Jesus Christ. That stone that's cut out of the mountain, God's going to send that Jesus into the world, and in his day, in the time that he's in the world, world history date, Roman Empire era. During the Roman Empire, there's going to be a king come that's from God, who is God, and he'll set up a kingdom that will never end. During his days, it'll start. It'll never be destroyed. It shall stand forever. It's not talking about a kingdom that's God's, that Jesus came here the first time, and then he's coming back to start a kingdom. Whatever this is talking about right here is talking about something Jesus started when he got here the first time, during the Roman Empire's when he got here the first time, and during the reign of those kings, a king would come and set up a kingdom that would last from that time even forever. When God talked to David about his son that would be the king, at first we may think that's Solomon he's talking about, but it won't fit Solomon. 2 Samuel 7:12, I will set up thy seed after thee, a child that will come from you, David. I'll set up thy seed after thee, and I will establish his kingdom, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's not Solomon. And that's not the lineage that came continually forever through Solomon, because that, where's the king of Israel that way now? Where has he been the last 2,000 years? Where was he from the time of Malachi to the time of Christ? Israel didn't have a king during those days. But a seed would come from David. Jesus is his name. He'd be David's offspring. He'd come from David, and he would set up a kingdom that would be continual and last forever, to establish his throne and his kingdom forever. A son of David, Jesus Christ, would come in during the time of the Roman Empire, dated in world history, and he would set up a kingdom that would last forever. Just prior to Jesus' coming, the angel comes and talks to Mary, and he's speaking to Mary about from her would come the child, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one promised, the Lord shall give unto him, the one Mary's son. We're narrowing this thing down. It was a seed of David. That could have been a lot of people. It was during the Roman Empire. That could be a lot of people. This is Mary's boy. That's not a lot of people. That's Jesus Christ. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There's the seed of David. And he shall reign. Jesus shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there'll be no end. He'll begin to reign in his lifetime during the Roman Empire. And he'll rule and reign over a kingdom that will be from that point forever. That kingdom's right now. That kingdom's in the world today. That kingdom was started in the days of Jesus, and it's still here now. When Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, about verse 17, it said, Jesus began to preach, and he preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heaven's not at hand. I can't reach it. It's way up there somewhere, way away from where my hand can get a hold of. That picture right there, that's at hand. I can take a hold of it. It's within reach. You say, how do you know it means that, preacher? What do you mean? Why do you say that hand? That means that's right here and it's right now. We can get a hold of it. That's how Jesus used it in another place. Let's let Jesus define his own term. He's in the garden the night before his crucifixion. He's prayed this prayer and they've slept through it. And now here come the enemy. And let's see what Jesus says at this point. Matthew 26:45. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto him, behold, the hour is at hand. The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. At hand, right there twice in those two verses. The hour is at hand. That's time. Hours, that's a measure of time. The hour's at hand. That means it's right now. It's now. It's at hand. The time is at hand. And then he goes on and says, he is at hand. That's somebody, Judas. And he's what? Right here. At hand means right now. At hand means right here. The kingdom of heaven at hand. It's right now. And it's right here. We're not looking for something. Well, we are looking for, don't get me wrong, we are looking for something out yonder. I'm not saying there's no such thing as heaven after we die. God forbid I say that. I've got folks up there that I'm wanting to see, and Jesus went back up there, and I know all that's in the Bible. I'm not denying any of that. We're rightly dividing here. There's some places where Jesus delivers that kingdom, and he's going to come back and take his sheep to that kingdom. We know that kingdom's up there, but we're talking about an at-hand kingdom that's right now and right here. That's us today in this world. Right here, right now, at hand. When Jesus began to preach there, that Sermon on the Mount, which is the Kingdom of Heaven sermon, the kingdom of heaven at hand sermon. And that sermon started out, Jesus said these words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. Well, theirs will be when they die. But he speaks of blessed be the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's right now. That's a present tense verb. Not to try to get an English lesson here. I'm not smart enough to teach an English lesson, but I know the difference is was and is and will be. And this is one of those is's. And that means it's right now. It's not out in the future. It's not the past. It was right then. The kingdom of heaven, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they can have a kingdom of heaven that's right now. That was at their time, in their place, as they lived that day. They could experience a heaven. One more that talks about it being now. Jesus describing this kingdom of heaven, Matthew 11, 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's Jesus speaking in the age in which he lived, in his days, in his time, where he was right there. He said, from the time of John the Baptist, you remember John came before Jesus preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John preached. Jesus comes along, preaches the same thing. Jesus says here, from the time of John. From the time of John until now. That was during a time when Jesus was here. It started with John. It continues to go now. But Jesus was speaking of it at that time in the present tense now. The kingdom of heaven right now, Jesus said, is suffering violence. You think there's violence going on in heaven up yonder? Well, that's the farthest thing from heaven up yonder. But there was violence in this world right here, right now, as people were cutting off John's head. You remember they cut off John the Baptist's head? That's pretty violent, didn't it? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence now, Jesus says. It won't in the future, forever and eternity, but it's a thing right now that's suffering violence. Jesus said right now in his day. And it kind of still is. It's still here. Jesus started it in his day. It comes along. It'll never end. It's a continuing, ongoing kingdom that's in this world right now. We're not talking about the up yonder one there. We're talking about the right here one here. We're talking about the right now one here, not the ones in the future up there. We're talking about a kingdom of heaven that right now suffers violence, Jesus said. We're talking about a kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is. It belongs to them right now, the kingdom of heaven. So we've got this idea of here and now. We've got this idea of at hand, the kingdom of heaven at hand. It's the message of the New Testament. We won't take that up tonight. We may get to that one later. Everybody preached it all the way through the New Testament. The apostles preached it. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. Everybody preached it. It was the message. It's the message for right now, for today. If we miss the idea that there's a kingdom of heaven right here in this place right now, we're missing the message for today. The future message is a heaven out yonder. The message for right now, there's a heaven you can take a hold of right now. If it's at hand, remember, you can take a hold of it. You can get a grip on it. You can experience it. You can have it. It's ours. It's ours for the right now. Not for when we die. It's for right now. Let me talk time out here. Just interject a little side note. Settle down a little maybe too. Get back, get my composure back around me. Quit preaching and start teaching maybe. There was something came up here just recently. Somebody had said about a preacher making a distinction between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God in God's word, the New Testament. A lot of times it says something about the kingdom of heaven. A lot of times it says something about the kingdom of God. In my best thinking, and best I can figure after looking at this thing for a long time, for years, I can't really make a difference. I'm not saying that somebody says there's a difference. They may be right, I may be wrong. It's hard to prove every time whether it was this or that or something else. And that's not really my point. I just don't want you confused. That's my point. Primarily, Matthew called it the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke usually called it the kingdom of God. But they weren't talking about something different. It's almost as if they couldn't be. And let me just show you a couple places right here to kind of settle that question before we go on with what we're talking about. Matthew 13:11, he answered and said unto them, Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them is not given. In explanation of the parable of the sower there, Jesus said, it's given unto you, the apostles, to understand this, but to everybody won't understand it. That's the version in Matthew, but see, it says the kingdom of heaven. In the sister passage in Mark, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things shall be done in parables. It's the same thing. There's a word change, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Jesus, it seems to me, is obviously talking about the same thing right there and just using a different term. Just to show you one more, I don't want to beat this thing up too bad and just take too long with it, but Luke 13:20, that was a comparison of Matthew and Mark. Luke 13:20, and again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God like, Jesus says? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Matthew's version, that Matthew statement, that same teaching. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Luke calls it kingdom of God. Matthew calls it kingdom of heaven. The story's the same in either place. A woman took some leaven and the whole batch was leavened. And something about that's like the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. I don't want to do that leaven one tonight. Maybe we'll get to that another night. That does teach a lesson about the kingdom of heaven. But the lesson we're wanting right here is that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God seem to me to be synonymous terms in God's word. They're saying the same thing. So let's not strain it in that and try to rightly divide when we don't need to divide. Let's just try to divide what's kingdom of heaven up yonder and what's kingdom of heaven right here, right now, at hand. And that'll be a big enough thing to bite off for tonight. So we're going to try to not try to distinguish whether it's kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God in the language. We're just going to assume that it's the same thing. And so now, having set that groundwork, let's move on a little bit. The kingdom of heaven up yonder, that's by grace and grace alone, remember? The kingdom of heaven down here, we've already read a verse. We started out with a verse that you need to sell everything you've got and buy it. Boy, it's two different approaches to getting to heaven, isn't it? Total different. Not total. Big difference, though. Big difference. The kingdom of heaven that's at hand, the kingdom of heaven that's right here and right now that we can press into, the kingdom of heaven, that one, it's a combination plan. You can't get into it without God, but God doesn't just put you in that one all by himself. It's God's grace that makes it available. Wow. I'm sure thankful to live in an age where we understand the story of Jesus as opposed to just the story of Sinai. But God doesn't pick me up by the hair of the head and slap me into the kingdom of heaven right now. It just doesn't work that way. And if we'll understand that distinction, we're going to be able to understand a whole lot of things about the kingdom of heaven that Jesus talks about so often. As opposed to the kingdom of heaven that Jesus also talks about, that's all by grace. Here's one right here that you need to buy. You need to sell out. You need to buy it. It's worth a lot. Take hold of it. Now then, let's start out thinking about this thing, the kingdom of heaven that's at hand, and how that it's a kind of a cooperation thing, that God does his part, and then we're supposed to do something to be a part of this. Initially, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. John 3:3. John 3:5, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That's true for heaven up yonder. Unless you're born again, you can't get there. But that's true for the kingdom of heaven right here too. If you don't have the eternal life that God gives you by grace, you can't press into a lifestyle of living that eternal life that you don't have. Initial requirement, mandatory prerequisite, you got to have born again, and God does that part. Except you have that, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven, either one of them. The one right here, right now, the one that's waiting for us up yonder. Born again gives you spiritual life. That spiritual life, you'll live in heaven forever. That's all by grace. But whether you want to experience and live that life you've been given while you're right here, we've got some choices in that part. That's where you whosoever will comes in. Until we have the life, we're will nots and cannots. But then once he gives us the life, whosoever will, come and drink of that water. So we've got the initial requirement that we've got to be born again, and God does that. But then after that, let's go to Luke 12:31. Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and provide yourselves treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Boy, that's flipping back and forth, just verse to verse to verse. What's the first verse say? You seek it. You seek that kingdom of heaven. Like hide and seek. You turn it over rocks and you open doors and you go and find it. You seek it. Knock and you'll be open, and seek and you'll find. Seek that kingdom of heaven. All these things will be added unto you. He's talking about natural things. What you eat and what you drink and what you wear. And God will give you those things. You just focus on finding the kingdom of heaven in this world. Seek you the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you. It's there. God established the kingdom in Jesus' day. It's here and now, and it's by God's grace that it is here, and it's by God's grace that we have the life to live it, but we need to seek it, and we need to sell that you have, provide yourselves treasures in heaven that fail not. Don't hold on to this world's so-called treasures and miss the greatest treasure of all, the kingdom of heaven at hand. We hadn't hardly got into what it is yet, but it's worth having. It's a pretty special thing to have. If you can have a little bit of heaven right now, that's better than anything this world can offer you. So Jesus says, seek it, sell what you've got, take a hold of it. But it's your Father's gift to you. It's your Father's good pleasure. It's the Father's good pleasure to give it to you. But there's some kind of combination thing here. There's not a combination plan how you get to the eternal heaven. There is a combination plan in how you live your life while you're still here in this world. Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. That's a tight squeeze. You press a grape and you squeeze the juice out of it in the wine press. This idea of getting squeezed by your own kind of thinking, squeezed by the world's influence, it's not easy. Paul says, I think it's in Acts chapter 14, that it is with much tribulation that you enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not talking about how you get up yonder. Jesus shall save his people from their sins, but to save yourself from this untoward generation, you've got to press into a life with Jesus. Through much tribulation, through many trials, you'll enter the kingdom of heaven that's right here. If you don't understand, there's a distinction. We've got this idea we're going to have to shut the book, because we don't know if you're getting there by grace or if you're getting there by what you do. There's one up yonder to get there all by grace. There's one right here that's by God's grace. It's available. But there's things that we do that we press into it. It's through much tribulations that we'll enter it. Jesus said in Matthew 19:23, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Too many enticements for that man. A rich man shall hardly enter into it. It's hard for him to do it. Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. To make a token effort at it and then quit, to put your hand to the plow and then walk back home, you're not going to have it that way. It's going to take some persistence. It's going to take some stick-to-itness. You're going to have to press into it. And through many trials and tribulations, you can finally find it. If you're seeking for it, if you're looking, if you're pressing, if you're wanting it, if you believe Jesus, that there's a better way to live life than the way the world would tell you is the right way. This is an idea of how we live while we're here and the benefits of it. We're still talking about kind of a game plan. It's a combination plan here. Let's do one more. Luke 18:29. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children. Boy, that's giving up some stuff, isn't it? No man that's left all those things for the kingdom of God's sake. Give up whatever it takes. Sell all you have to press into this kingdom. There's no man that's given up these things for God's sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. See that? And in the world to come, life everlasting. Well, Jesus just divides it right there in one statement, doesn't he? He's dividing. He's talking about the one that's in this time, in the present time, and he's talking about the one that's everlasting life up yonder. And he says, you sell all you've got. That doesn't have anything to do with getting up yonder. When you sell out everything you've got and everything that would come between you and Jesus for the kingdom of God's sake, you'll receive manifold, that is, many more blessings, much more will be given to you than what you lost in this present time, and you'll still have the eternal life. That's not how you get the eternal life. You get that by grace, but you get many, many manifold blessings in this world by taking a kingdom life as opposed to the world's life. Is it worth it? Jesus described in Matthew 13 again. Matthew 13 is the kingdom of heaven chapter, along with a lot of the place in God's word. That's just primarily all it talks about. Just a long chapter there. Talks about the eternal and the here and now and how you get it and what it's worth. That's what we want to look at right now. Matthew 13. What's it worth? Jesus describes it as a merchant man seeking pearls, looking for the pearls. He finds a little one here. He finds a nugget there. He finds a tidbit over yonder. A life of kind of not finding much. And then all of a sudden he finds the pearl of great price. Jesus' parable here, he says about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking pearls, and he finds the pearl of great price. And he goes and he sells all that he has. He gives up everything to have that pearl, that precious pearl of great price. Jesus said, it's worth giving up everything. You don't know how valuable it is. You don't have any idea what a treasure it is, says Jesus. Sell everything, give up all, take this pearl. It'll do you good, said Jesus. That's not getting to heaven up yonder. That's taking hold of a kingdom of heaven that's within reach that you can take hold of while you're right here, right now, in this life, in this world, today. A kingdom of heaven that's at hand. It was Jesus' message. The kingdom of heaven at hand, it is to experience something akin to heaven while we're still here. Which one you figure's best? A heaven or the earth? Heaven or a sin-cursed world? Heaven or the trinkets that Satan might dangle before us right here? Heaven or anything this world can offer? Why, heaven's better, isn't it? Jesus, the Bible, teaches that there's something available right now that's better than anything the world can give you. Better than anything Satan can tempt you with and try to convince you, no, this is better. You really want this more than you'd want that. The kingdom of heaven at hand is something akin to the kingdom of heaven that's waiting for us, but the one that's at hand is at hand. It's here and now, and you can take hold of it. Where is it? Luke, it says, some will say, oh, there it is, and some will say, here it is. You know what Jesus' answer to that is? The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's interesting, isn't it? That's really where you are. That's really where the real you is. And whatever's inside there is what comes out, and you do what you do, but it's coming from what's within you. Your makeup. What's inside you. Your thoughts. Your feelings. From within. Jesus said that's where this kingdom of heaven really is. It dwells in your soul. It abides in your heart. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, that I'm talking about, he says it doesn't come with observation. You can't see it with your eyes. It's inside you. Something inside you. You know what? If the inside's okay, it really doesn't matter what's going on the outside. If we can lose the four daughters like the Horatio Spafford and still say it is well with my soul, don't tell me he wasn't hurting. He was still hurting. But on the inside, he was okay. He was experiencing something beyond what this world can give you. At the loss of those four darling daughters, you know that those sea billow sorrows were tearing him all to pieces. Yet there's something on the inside of his soul that lets him say it's okay. Is that not a treasure to have? That no matter what Satan throws at you, it's going to still be okay. That's what's available. That's what's here and now. It's like heaven when everything's going to be okay, but everything can be okay right here even when it's not okay. There's a kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, it's within you. In Romans chapter 14, Paul describes the kingdom of heaven like this. He said, it's not meat and drink. That's strange, isn't it? Well, it wouldn't be strange if you were a Jew and everything about their external religion was meats and drinks, sacrificing animals and cooking meat the right way and sacrificing it to God and burning it up or this or that, meats and drinks, pouring out their drink offerings and their, everything was some kind of external ritual. Do you get it? I've had people tell me, I've had good people tell me, and there's a portion, it's hard to have kingdom of heaven without being in a church, but the kingdom of heaven is not the visible church. It's different. It's something on the inside. A church is a manifestation of those that have the kingdom of heaven within, and they come together and they worship together. That's church, but that's not synonymous with kingdom of heaven. It's not something you can see. It's not something on the outside. It's not some kind of ritual. It's not some kind of worship service. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, Romans 14. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Boy, there's three good clues right there as to what it is. It's inside me. It's not observable. It's not something you can see. It's not something you can say, oh, look there, or oh, look here. It's not something you can see with observation. It's something inside you. It's not meat and drink. It's not some kind of religious ritual that you go through. It's something inside you, and it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost who's inside you, communing with Him. On the inside, righteousness, joy, and peace. Jesus said of the righteousness in his Kingdom of Heaven at Hand sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he said, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You know what the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was? It was all external. It was all a show. Jesus said, inside, you're like full of dead men bones. You're like a grave that's rotten on the inside. Outside, you're painted up pretty, but you're dead on the inside. Jesus said, except you go to the inside, not just outside, not just ritual, not just meat and drink. It's not something you see or something you show. It's something on the inside, a righteousness on the inside, a hungering and thirsting after righteousness. A desire, Lord, lead me in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. A yearning to live like Jesus in his righteousness. Let that be my way of living, Lord. The kingdom of heaven is what? It's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's joy. The kingdom of heaven is joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Peter talked about a joy unspeakable in 1 Peter chapter 1. What's that verse? 1 Peter 1 and 8. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Righteousness and joy. You can't see him, but you can see him. You can't see him with these eyes. It's not on the outside, but the eyes of faith. On the inside, you can see Jesus. You can experience him. You can know him. And you can have joy unspeakable, regardless of the externals. No matter what's happening with the sea below sorrows, you can experience a joy unspeakable on the inside. The kingdom of heaven's within you. It's inside you. It's a joy. John says in 1 John chapter 1, he said, that which we saw, that the word of life, Jesus Christ, we've touched him, we've seen him, we've heard him, we've been with him. John, that was a long time ago. You're an old man now. Jesus had been gone for a few years when John writes these words. But Jesus said, I still have a fellowship with that Jesus and with the Father. And I want you to have what I have so your joy might be full. You want to be full of joy? Have a fellowship with Jesus. You know where joy is? There's joy in heaven up yonder. But there's joy in heaven inside here. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. You can have joy unspeakable. You can be full of joy when you have a fellowship with Jesus. That's what it is. It's a fellowship with Jesus that's right here, right now, at hand. You don't have to wait for it. You can have a bit of it right now. I'm not saying this is hardly as good as what's up yonder. I don't know what's up yonder. I got a feeling it's mighty good, but it's mighty good to get a little taste of Jesus while you're right here. It's righteousness and joy. It's peace in the Holy Ghost. Let's do a peace verse. Paul spoke of a peace that surpasses understanding, where God keeps your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Your heart and mind, that's what's on the inside. And when God keeps that and you keep that heart and mind on Christ Jesus, you can have a joy that passes understanding. A peace that passes understanding. You can have a joy that's unspeakable. You can come unto Jesus when you're laboring and heavy laden. And what does he give you? He gives you rest in the middle of your labor. He gives you peace in the middle of your turmoil. He gives you joy in the middle of your sadness. He gives you righteousness when you strive for it. And what is that kingdom of heaven? It's within you. What is that kingdom of heaven? It's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Right on that inside where that heart is, where those feelings are, where that hurt happens, can be happy when you're experiencing heaven. The kingdom of heaven's at hand. The kingdom of heaven's within you. Jesus said it like this in John chapter 10. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He's come that we might have eternal life with him forever in heaven, but he's come that we might have an abundant life. Does the world offer you an abundant life? Can all the money in the world buy for you what I'm talking about tonight? Can you have peace on the inside, joy in your soul if you've got $10 million? You might say, I'd like to try it for a day or two. I believe it'd work. You know what all that is? If you believe Jesus, you know, we can believe in Jesus and still not believe Jesus. We can say where he says, you ought to sell out and buy this because it's better than anything. We might still say, well, I'm going to sell you out, Jesus, and take the world. And so often that's what we do. It sounds good, but it doesn't do good some days. It's not easy. That's why he talks about it. It's easier for that camel to go through the eye of a needle. Selling out everything. He that puts his hand to the plow and turns back, he's not worthy of it. Ah, but whoever does it, remember, he gets manifold more blessings here, plus and eternal life there. You want one heaven or two? You want to have to wait till you get there to have it, or would you like to get a head start? It's Jesus who loved us enough to die for us, and he says, you know, I'll come and dwell with you right now. And I'll give you a bit of what's waiting for you forever. Paul called it in so many places, Paul called it the earnest of our inheritance. That, by very definition, is what we're talking about. Your inheritance, you get that after the guy dies. The earnest of the inheritance, when Papa dies, you get his inheritance. But the earnest of his inheritance, when he says, here, I got a lot. I don't need it all. My days are numbered. Let me just give you 10,000 right now. But the inheritance is still coming. That's earnest. Earnest is getting the inheritance ahead of time. Earnest is what you pay to hold a piece of property. I want that house you've got, but I can't get my money until I go to the bank. But here, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write you a check right now for $5,000. And then once I get my loan, we'll settle up. That check for $5,000 is earnest. That check for $5,000 you got in your hand, it's right here and right now. It's at hand. That's earnest. The rest of it's coming. You don't have it yet, but you can start spending the earnest right now. You can start enjoying Papa's inheritance that he gave you a little early, that $10,000, before Papa dies. Earnest of our inheritance, it's what's available right now. Before we get the fullness of it up yonder. So many places we could go to them and show you where Paul talks about the earnest of our inheritance. Something we can have right now. Let's do one more. Maybe two more. 2 Timothy 2:10. Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Look at two things right there. Also, Paul says, I'm preaching. So they'll also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The eternal glory is a given. Jesus paid for that. Whom he did predestinate, them he glorified. You've got that. Paul says, why am I preaching to you? So you can have something else with that. In addition to that, and also that you might have something right now before you get that up yonder. That you also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. That's not eternal salvation. That's what you get right here, right now, at hand. The other one we want to go to, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Continue believing and following and fellowshipping with Jesus and take a hold of it. Lay hold on it. That's at hand. If you can lay hold on it, you can reach that. You can get it. It's yours. Seek. Knock. find, lay hold on the eternal life that you'll have forever in glory. I've suggested a time or two tonight. We probably ought to go preach the whole Sermon on the Mount sometime in this series. Last time I tried to do that, it took us 39 sermons. I don't want the series to last that long. We may all get to heaven before we get through that. But I want to just take the start and the last of Jesus' sermon. You remember where it said in 4 and 17, Matthew, there, that Jesus began to preach? And what did he preach when he began to preach? He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know what that word repent means? Change your minds. It's a changed mind that will lead to a changed life. I want to change your mind, change your thinking here, Jesus says. I want you to begin to think different. You're going to have to think kind of paradoxically. It's not going to seem right when you first start thinking about it. It doesn't fit the world's way of thinking. But you start thinking this way. Jesus began to preach, and his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From there, he turns to some of his apostles, says, follow me. They follow. He preaches, and then opens up Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where we find the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount begins with these words, blessed are the poor in spirit. That word blessed means happy. In John chapter 13, where Jesus said, if you wash one another's feet, happy you'll be. Same Greek word. Not trying to become a Greek scholar. Just look up those words, find it's the same word in the Greek. So Jesus is talking about happy. Happy are the poor in spirit. Boy, we've already talked about that kind of tonight too, hadn't we? That's two diametrically opposed ideas right there. Poor in spirit is discouraged. Poor in spirit is downhearted. Poor in spirit is down and out. But Jesus says happy are the down and out. Happy are the discouraged. Happy are the poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is right now the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit who turn to Jesus. It's a message, it's a sermon. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he begins that sermon with the Beatitudes, and every one of them start with blessed. Happy are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. On it goes, happy are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How can you be persecuted for righteousness' sake and be happy? You're experiencing the kingdom of heaven, and it really didn't matter what they're doing on the outside. It's an inside thing. Happy on the inside if you have this kingdom of heaven, no matter what's going on the outside. It's a sermon that starts with happy, 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 happy. You want to be happy? Read the sermon. You want to be more happy? Do the sermon. That's the way the sermon ends. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, not just let it go in one ear and out the other. You know, I'd just say, well, that's a mighty intriguing idea. Isn't that cool? Hear that sermon of Jesus. It's a hard sermon. I'll just tell you one thing's hard about that sermon. Somebody slap you on one side of your face, you're going to let them slap you on the other side. Somebody steals your coat, you're going to say, here, take my sweater too, buddy. And you're going to be happy doing that. You're going to want to do that. You're going to love doing that. Woo! That's hard to do, isn't it? That's what he said. It's hard to live this kingdom, isn't it? It's hard to act that way. It's hard to be that way. But whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he ends his sermon. I'll tell you who he's like. He's like a wise man who builds his house on a rock, and the winds and the waves and the storms and all the troubles beat upon that house, but it won't fall because it's built upon a rock. You know where the sermon starts? Happy. You know where it ends? Stable. Happy in the kingdom of heaven that you're living it right here, and you'll have a stable life no matter who blows at you. No matter what Satan brings upon you, no matter what kind of big old storm you're in the midst of, you're stable. Everything else is rocking and swaying, and you're solid like a rock because you're doing life kingdom of heaven style. You're doing a life according to a kingdom of heaven that's at hand, and in the kingdom of heaven that's at hand, you're stable. You're happy. Ah, but whoever hears those sayings and doesn't do them, he's like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. He just took the world's foundations and built on them instead of the rock Jesus Christ. The solid rock, Jesus Christ, you build your house on the world's sands, and when the winds blow, you're going to be wiped out. It's going to blow you away. You'll end up over there in Oz somewhere, looking for God behind a curtain. Where'd that come from? I'm not exactly sure. Poor old Dorothy. She was a mess, wasn't she? She should have read the Sermon on the Mount, shouldn't she? Never mind. Back to hopefully what's at hand here. What's at hand? The kingdom of heaven. You start out happy in the sermon, he ended up stable in the sermon, and it says they were astonished at his doctrines. they were astonished at his doctrines. Absolutely amazed at what a way to live life. That you just let people run all over you? What's it matter? I'm in heaven. Let Satan take everything you've got and put a big storm on you? I don't care. I'm in heaven right now. Do I believe it? Well, yeah. It's in God's Word and God's Word is truth. Do I believe it enough to do it? Hadn't yet. Maybe if I keep preaching to y'all long enough, I'll try it someday. Oh, you know, I get towards it sometime and then drift away from it. Hard to press into it. Hard to keep on keeping on. But it's the way to live life. It's the way to have a bit of heaven right now. So many teachings of Jesus specifically are about how to live life right now. If you were the great teacher Jesus was and you were going to take care of eternal life for them already, you'd tell them about that, but you wouldn't spend your time on that now, would you? Jesus spends much more time on the kingdom of heaven at hand than he does the kingdom of heaven that's waiting. So when you read God's word, if you take that kingdom of heaven at hand, everything Jesus teaches about that, you're going to either go way down the wrong road in error and forget that salvation is by grace, or you may just shut the book, not know what to do with it, or we can go through a study like this and that the Lord will bless us. We can rightly divide this thing and we can realize we've got a heaven eternal waiting for us that's so glorious, but we've got a heaven inside that we can live right here. That's just about as glorious, not hardly. But if it's just a little bit, if it's just a crumb from up there, that's good enough for now, isn't it? What is the kingdom of heaven? Let's close by just giving you kind of a definition after this sermon. Maybe we should have started with the definition. The kingdom of heaven at hand is whenever or wherever there's a servant of the king who is following and serving his or her king. When you're following and serving Jesus and staying, sticking close to him, right on his heels in this world, you're in the kingdom of heaven that's at hand. Whenever, wherever that's happening, you've got a servant in a kingdom that Jesus has made available to us while we're right here and right now in this world. It's a beautiful, beautiful scriptural concept that most of Christianity loses at this point. Some will take many of these sermons, these messages, these verses that I've preached tonight and make them in something future out yonder where Jesus is going to come back and set up a kingdom. The Bible tells me that when Jesus came the first time, when he set up the kingdom, remember Daniel? It's in the Roman Empire days that he'd set the kingdom up and it'd be a never-ending kingdom then. If we're waiting for the kingdom that he's going to come back and set up on the earth, that's sort of like waiting for heaven that we don't have yet. We don't have anything that we've got right now. At hand is not something he's going to come back to do. I'm not sure what he's going to do when he comes back. That's not the message for tonight. The message for the night is right here and right now message. For right now, there's a kingdom at hand that we don't have to wait for any longer. We can just take hold of it in the way we live our lives in this world we're in. And it's a good way to live life. It's the best way to live life. It's worth selling out everything to have this pearl of great price. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for such love that you'd give us, that you'd secure for us the eternal kingdom, and you'd make a kingdom even available as a head start that we might begin to enjoy your presence, your fellowship, your peace, your love, your presence even while we're here right now. Help us to see the urgency of it and help us to have the strength you'd give us that we might press into it and enjoy your company for the rest of our days while we're here. Bless this church, bless all who are gathered here, and bless those who need you elsewhere. In Jesus' name, amen.